This is a special Studio 2 broadcast. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Let's get right to our holiday movie event. We recorded in front of a live audience in Newtown, Bucks County.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
And welcome to the historic Newtown Theater. This is Studio 2 on the road. Here's how it's going to work. Cherry and I and our panelists are going to play clips from holiday movies in three different categories. First will be oldies but goodies. That's anything before 1990. Yes, 1990 is now the threshold for oldies but goodies, folks.
The second round will be modern classics. That's anything from 1990 until today.
And the third round will be, is it really a holiday movie? And that could be something from any era, but let's be honest, it's kind of a borderline pick.
But in each round, each of us on the panel will play clips from our chosen movies. We'll have a debate, and then we will vote on which movie should advance. In the case of a tie, we'll turn to our live audience to help us make a decision. We'll also hear more live music from Winter Wonder Band along the way, and we'll ultimately crown a Studio 2 all-time greatest holiday movie spectacular extravaganza champion.
So let's introduce our esteemed panel. Badatri D. Chowdhury, who is the arts and entertainment editor at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Welcome, Badatri.
Thank you. Very glad to be here.
And we also have Dan McQuaid, the visual editor at Defector.com and a former staff writer for Philadelphia Magazine. Welcome, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And before we get into our first round, let's take a moment. We're going to go around and say what holiday movies mean to us and what our criteria was for making our picks for today. And Badatri, we'll start with you.
So for me, holiday films are the opposite of summer movies. I'm not looking to leave my house and go into an air-conditioned theater. So I'm looking to stay in on my couch under a blanket, probably not something very complex and something that I need to think a lot about, and something I'll forgive myself for falling asleep midway. Those are my biggest criteria. Laziness.
Okay.
Laziness.
I like that.
Dan, how about you? How did you pick yours?
A holiday movie is something that airs on TV every year, or like you, when I was a kid, you pull out the VHS of the like five things that you've recorded off TV. When I was like picking a film for this, I was like, could I choose the Garfield Christmas special as my answer?
Is this a spoiler?
This is not a spoiler. I did not choose the Garfield Christmas special.
I think what makes a great holiday movie is something that evokes very fond memories for me of being with my family, of childhood. So most of my picks were in that realm. It's also something I don't mind watching again and again. And it has to be good enough I can force other people to watch it with me. Because what's the joy of a great holiday movie without, like, family and people saying, hey, don't you want to watch this for the kajillionth time? And so that was my criteria.
Okay, you want to know mine?
I want to know yours.
I'm the Grinch of the group, okay? I'm just not a big movie guy. Okay. So it's never been a big part of my holiday traditions to watch movies. But for the ones that I picked, it's got to feel comfortable, familiar. You turn it on, and you're not looking for twists and suspense. You're just looking for something that feels like a warm blanket or an old glove, you know?
Aww.
Yeah. So, well, the Grinch had like a little heart inside of him, right? So that's my little heart inside of the Grinch.
It got bigger and bigger.
It did it? I'll be honest, just to prove to you how little I know about this, I have never seen How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, wow, okay. So we're going to have to change that.
Boo.
Spoilers for the Grinch.
We have plans for you tonight.
Yes,
I know.
Apparently. Okay, so that's actually a good segue. Let's get into it. Our first round of debate is the oldies but goodies category, and that is movies before 1990. So, Cherry, you get to kick us off. What is your pick in the oldies but goodies category?
Well, I chose this film starring Bill Murray, and in this scene, you're going to see his character, Frank Cross, is a TV executive who shows just how humbug he is. Take a look at Scrooged.
Grace, who is that guy?
Elliot, Loudermilk.
Okay. Call security, have them change his locks, clean on his desk, and toss him out of the building.
Oh, he's fired?
It's Christmas.
Thank you. Call accounting. Stop his bonus.
Okay, my argument is, what is Christmas time without an Ebenezer Scrooge character? Right? And I didn't want to get a old, dusty one with all the British accents. So this is my modern take on A Christmas Carol, and I watch Scrooge every year. I've already seen it twice this season. So there you go.
I don't know. I work in the media. Layoffs are scary for me.
Okay, so
I would not watch that on holiday.
Too real.
Too real. Too real.
So you picked, your criteria for your classic movie was that it was a modern take on a classic, just to
be
clear.
Yeah, it is a classic. It was before, it's 1988, so technically it fits the criteria we had. But it's still, you know, it has the ghosts that visit, the month past, all of that present, future. I mean, it has all the parts of the Charles Dickens A Christmas Carol. And I just love Bill Murray. He's hilarious.
You won me over
with
that.
I love the whole, I just love this, I just love this movie.
So, Badatri, you have the second pick in this round. What do you have for your oldie but goodie?
Okay, so unlike Jerry, I don't remember the year this film came out in because it's an eternal classic. It's the Charlie Brown Christmas. And aww, you will see the clip and know why I picked this film. See, people are applauding. I think I'm winning this one already.
I never thought it was such a bad little tree. It's not bad at all, really. Maybe it just needs a little love.
I know, thank you.
I'll take my prize now.
No, I just, you know, this scene just, I don't know, makes me feel like, especially after Black Friday when we've like spent all our money and we're broke during Christmas.
There's so much schmaltzy Christmas stuff, but this has the right level of like sad to it, like the jazz music and the, you know, like, I mean, you probably can buy the special edition Blu-ray on Black Friday now of this anti-commercialization of Christmas TV special. But that's okay. That's sort of how things work. And that makes it even more poignant. So, yeah, I think it's a good choice.
I love this film so much. And I'm so glad people in the audience agree with me.
Yeah, there was a nice, there was a palpable reaction. All right, so I guess, Dan, you have the next pick in this round.
I do. Oldie but goodie. So this is my We Taped It Off TV on VHS pick. Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, which came out in 1978. And, you know, I was born in the 80s, so this was already would have been, like, on TV for several years when I began watching it and when we somehow acquired it on VHS. I probably have seen this a million times. I remember, like, as an adult, I was going to a friend's house, and he was like, oh, we're going to watch Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. And I was like, do not start it until I get there. So you can play the clip. It'll explain the plot.
So how's a guy like Santa Claus, who's built like a dump truck, how's he going to come down all those skinny little chimneys, huh?
Well, he holds his breath like this.
That's like trying to get a basketball into a ginger ale bottle.
I don't know how Santa gets in.
Well, if I was you, I'd find out. Because if he doesn't get in, there's gonna be a lot of empty stockings around town tomorrow morning. Merry Christmas.
Ooh.
That's amazing. I've never heard of this.
Now he's the Bah Humbug right there.
To be fair to... to Oscar, this is a clip that is sometimes shared online where they're ice skating before and he gets like tossed out of the ice rink down like an unbelievable amount of stairs. So this was just, you know, there's another plot of Bert and Ernie like giving each other Christmas presents. It's all very cute. It teaches children things, what they are. I don't remember off the top of my head, but presumably I learned from it. I have a one-year-old son now. I'm excited to show it to him when he starts watching too much TV like I did. And this will be one of the better things he will see, hopefully.
Yay.
I loved that. And I didn't even know, I'd never seen it before.
I don't think I've seen it before either.
Okay, so...
Yes, Avi, you're up.
Well, look, I we're Philadelphians.
Yes.
I had to choose the ultimate Philadelphia holiday movie for my classic, and technically it is on the other side of 1990, believe it or not. So I chose the 1983 comedy, Trading Places, starring Dan Aykroyd
nice.
And Eddie Murphy. Let's play
That's
the clip.
That's a good one.
Oh,
cocaine grinder, drug needles. He's the pusher, not me.
Really, I just came in and caught this man planting this stuff in my desk. It's obviously some primitive attempt to try to frame me.
Frame you? Boy, if that isn't the pot calling the kettle black.
So, I mean, yeah, we got to clap it up for that. Two great comedic actors at the height of their powers. Of course, the whole movie, basically, I won't spoil the very end, takes place in Philadelphia over the course of the holidays. This had to be represented at the very least in this competition for me.
Any movie shot in Philadelphia, I'm spending the whole time being like, I know where that is. I know where that is.
Yeah.
I know where that is. What my wife once identified the actual address of the house where the protagonist in Mannequin 2 lives in like 5 minutes. And like, I've possibly never loved her more. So yeah, this is a great pick also.
Yeah, was a great pick, I have to say. I really love that movie. So we're supposed to, of yes. the four movie picks, decide on one that moves to the next round. So if we can't do that, then we have to go to our audience to help us out. So anybody want to give up their pick? You want to switch teams? What do you want to do?
I'll go for Trading Places. I don't need to do mine.
But wait, pick. Here's the twist.
You're going to go.
I'm giving up mine.
You're going for Charlie Brown Christmas?
I am going for Charlie Brown Christmas.
I'm going for Charlie Brown Christmas.
All right, well, then we're good. 3-1.
We are not letting capitalism win this time. Okay. Good for you guys.
So let me.
But I do love Trading Places, though.
Keeping it snappy.
I love Trading Places more as a movie. I love Charlie Brown Christmas more as a holiday movie. That's my logic.
Yeah.
And I think we talked before we revealed our picks about like how these movies are supposed to make us feel. I didn't know you were going to pick Charlie Brown, Badatri, but as soon as I saw it,
something
inside me warmed. I could feel it.
There you have it. Charlie Brown Christmas is the first movie that will make it into our final round. So we'll be back with much more friendly debate over holiday movies. And this will be after a short break. We'll get into the modern classics and a category we're calling, is it really a holiday movie? There's going to be some debate there.
Big time. All of that and more are coming up on this edition of Studio 2. On the road. Tonight,
walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Welcome back to Studio 2 on the Road. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. And today we are at the beautiful Newtown Theater for our all-time great holiday movie, Spectacular Extravaganza.
Yes.
And we are working our way toward crowning what we think is the best holiday film of all time. Now, in the last round, we picked Charlie Brown Christmas as the movie from the oldies but goodies category to make our final round.
And so now we're moving on to round two, modern classics. That's movies from 1990 until the present. And Avi, this time, gets to go first in this round. So Avi, what do you have?
So I have picked for my modern classic a movie that I think became a classic as soon as it came out. It did not need to age. As soon as this came out, people gravitated to this film. It is the 2003 comedy, Elf. Let's play a clip from Elf.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies. You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay.
Oh! He's a monster!
All right, there it is.
There it is.
So I think people know the plot of Elf, but Will Ferrell plays a human who was raised by elves, and he's going back to New York City to find his biological father. And chaos, as you can tell, ensues. So I picked this one basically because of Will Ferrell. I mean, it's a really good cast. James Caan is in it, and Bob Newhart, and lots of great actors. But Will Ferrell, to me, is one of the great comedic actors of the last 30 years. And I think his secret weapon is that he's a very large man who exudes childlike joy and energy. And this is the perfect role for that, an oversized elf. I mean, it's just brilliant. And so for me, it's just like the perfect casting of someone who I think has had a really great comedic career. So that's
you
why
like
I
like to laugh.
I love,
especially during the holidays.
Absolutely,
I can see it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm a comedies, if I'm gonna sit down and watch a movie, 90% chance it's a comedy for me.
All right.
Any debate? How do we feel about Elf?
This is a very good pick. I feel like there is a, I don't know, Will Ferrell is very, very funny. It's just a delightful script. And
you know what's interesting about that is because I grew up, you know, I was a youngish man in the era of like Anchorman and Talladega Nights. And at the time, I would have said, oh, those movies are way better because it was just in the zeitgeist at that moment, especially targeted to people my age. But when you get some distance from them, you get older, but also the movies get older, you realize like this is the one that really holds up. It's classic and it's eternal in a way that those ones are still funny, but not quite as funny. And this one just, for me, gets funnier over time.
All right. Badatri.
Yes. My pick, it's the opposite of Avi's. I don't watch too much comedy. I watch a lot of tear-jerking, soppy films. But what I'll admit is I might have a little bit of a recency bias because this film, I would like to argue, is an instant classic as well, but it only came out last year. It's this film called The Holdovers.
I saw that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I picked it after we watch the clip.
This is for you. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. For my money, it's like the Bible, the Quran, and the Bhagavad Gita all rolled up into one. And the best part is not one mention of God. Okay. Thanks. And Mary. This is for you.
So you just get this for everybody?
So I remember my first Christmas. So I moved from India for grad school, and I remember my first Christmas was extremely lonely. And I went to school in New York, extremely cold. All my classmates had gone home. So, you know, all the films will sell you that Christmas is this magical time and you're like unnaturally happy. But, you know, I have been on this side where I have sat inside a dorm, ate like mac and cheese or something from the microwave and just seen people. And again, I don't think I was jealous, but it was just a happiness that I wasn't a part of.
Yeah.
So in this film, Paul Giamatti is the teacher in a very posh boarding school, and the guy we see, he can't go back home because his mother has gotten married to her new husband, and they've gone off somewhere without him. And Divine Joy Randolph, a Temple grad, Philly proud.
Yes.
She is the mess lady. She's the person who cooks for the students. And these three are the only people who are left in the school during Christmas. And the film starts off by none of them can stand or tolerate the other. But then by the end of the film, they develop this beautiful friendship, which for me is, I mean, Christmas films and Christmas and holidays, it's also about family, right?
Yeah.
But there's so many of us who are not able to be close to family during the holidays. And we look to our chosen families, we look to our friends, and which is why this film, when I watched it last year, it immediately spoke to me. And I thought when I was making my choice, I was like, this film is so recent. I was like, no, I stand by it. You know, it really spoke to me.
Yeah. And I saw this film and I cried in this film. And Divine Joy Randall's character, her son had passed away.
Yeah.
It was just so many elements to this. And it was it's a beautiful film. It is a Christmas coming together story. It's so beautiful.
Yes, it is. And finding new friends. Yeah.
I will point out, not only is there a Philadelphia-born actor, but Dominic Sessa, I believe, who plays the young man.
He's from South Jersey.
So double points for that.
That counts. Okay. All right.
Dan, have you seen this film, Dan?
I have not, but I'm a big fan of Alexander Payne's other films that I've seen. So
on the list
now. Yeah, so I'm gonna have to watch. I'm gonna make my wife watch all of the movies we've discussed today.
Yeah.
With me. Yeah. I already made her watch all of my choices.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Dan, you're up now.
Okay, so We went from a very sort of upbeat Will Ferrell movie to, you know, something more poignant. Mine is very sad. That to me is very, not every Christmas is not happy for everyone. So my pick is 2003's Bad Santa, which is also very funny.
Have you seen that new Santa they just hired?
Yeah, he's back there drunk.
You doing? You blow this and we're broke for the whole year. So stop acting like you know something, because pal of mine, you don't know squat. Now put on your hat and get out there. And try to act professional, for Christ's sake.
That's like the Polaroid opposite.
Yes.
It's a similar scene to the elf scene that I picked.
It is, but...
It's sort of in a photo negative type of way.
It is. It is a little different. I am a sucker for any movie set in a mall or a department store. This one has both. When I was six, Franklin Mills opened, and that was like the biggest event of my childhood. Maybe still of my life. Wow. Like, spent most of my life there. I've never been able to fully explain how big of that an event was to the people of far northeast Philadelphia, but it was. This reminds me of 2002, 2003, like perfectly, in terms of how everything looks. To me, this is a nostalgic movie, despite being a very sad film. He like sort of learns his lesson in like an epilogue that's tacked on afterward, but I think we can ignore that. Like, what is a more modern Christmas movie than one that's just like a chain-smoking, drinking Santa whose goal is to rob, you know, the places he works at? I didn't know this was a contest. I would have picked something more.
It's okay. Stand firm, Dan.
I think it's a good pick.
Yeah.
Don't get wiggly knees, man. Don't get wiggly knees.
Cherry.
So Christmas time, I got to have some love stories, and I have to have some good Christmas music, and some Christmas carols. And my pick is The Preacher's Wife, because not only do you have Whitney Houston, but you got Denzel, and I'm talking about Denzel Washington when he was fine. So let's play a clip from The Preacher's Wife.
I see a beautiful woman with a good heart. Only has to open her eyes to realize that everything she ever wanted, she already has.
You didn't even look at my hand.
But I held it.
I believe in miracles, and I lose a miracle. And yes, baby, you're a dream.
Wow. I gotta take a breath. And let me tell you.
Is that in the Winter Wonder Band repertoire, by the way?
I mean, look. First of all, my dad's a minister, so I grew up in the church. And Whitney Houston was the very first album, like tape, that my mom bought me for Christmas. So when this came out in 1996, we actually went to the movies to see this. And Denzel Washington is playing Dudley, an angel who came down from heaven, came down to help the pastor, who's played by Courtney B. Vance, who was struggling because he was burned out from helping so many people. And of course, he's married to Whitney Houston, who everybody loves. And Dudley came to help him get his mojo back. And of course, he fell in love with Whitney, but, you know, there was a great scene where the mother-in-law comes in and says, "You're not going to mess up this marriage," you know, to the angel. But it's just such a heartwarming film. There's laughs, you cry, and there's excellent music. So that's why I love The Preacher's Wife. Hey. I would want my angel to be Dudley. I'm just saying that. Come on down, Dudley. I can get my mojo back and start helping people again.
Can I just ask you a question? Maybe this is a spoiler. He's a philandering angel?
Like, no, he's not. It's not. He doesn't go that far.
It's just innuendos.
Yeah. It's just anyway. It's a joke. It's a friendly.
Okay. Angels are not infallible.
They have some human qualities. You know, there would be like little lightning strikes every time he had a bad thought. So there was that. But
I really want to see.
If you have not seen Preacher's Wife, I totally recommend it. It's just a great holiday movie, and I just love it.
So we have to vote now, unfortunately. So is anyone willing to give up? Raise your hand if you're willing to give up on your selection and vote for another.
Yeah, I'll give up on my selection.
We have two give ups. So we have Dan and Badatri. Badatri.
Yeah, for this one, like I said, I think I've just been dumbfounded, and I haven't watched this film, watched The Preacher's Wife. and I didn't know it exists, and I've just been dumbfounded, and I'm like, yeah, man, take my pick away. I'm going to watch this tonight.
So we have two votes for Preacher's Wife, Dan.
Okay, I'll vote for Elf, so
oh!
I'm going to give the audience some.
All right, audience, this is your moment. So we have a tie in the modern classics category between The Preacher's Wife and Elf. So who wants to vote for Elf? Strong.
And who would like to vote for The Preacher's Wife featuring Denzel Washington, 1996,
and a beautiful
and the
Whitney
wonderfully
Houston.
Talented and gorgeous
this is not okay.
Whitney Houston.
Oh my.
Elf. Everybody wants Elf. Hey, quiet down. Everybody wants Elf.
Thumb on the scale, but Preacher's Wife did indeed win in the modern classics category. Okay.
Thank you.
So we got to move on to round three. And things are going to get a little wild, even compared to that, apparently.
Okay. Yes.
So this is our Is It Really a Holiday Movie round. And these are movies where there's holiday action happening. But come on, is it really a holiday movie? And Cherry, fresh off your victory, you're up first. What is your pick?
So hold on to your wigs, people. I'm just telling you right now, because my pick might blow your hair back, all right? It's a 1980 Stanley Kubrick film. It's a version of a Stephen King novel starring Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall. It's a horror, and if you have not figured it out, The Shining. Take a look.
Oh, gosh.
Hi, Lloyd. Been away, but now I'm back.
Good evening, Mr. Torrance. It's good to see you.
It's good to be back, Lloyd.
What would be, sir?
Hair of the dog that bit me.
Bourbon on the rocks.
That'll do it.
All right, let me make my argument. Let me explain. See, what had happened was, right, when I was a kid, I got a stack of Stephen King novels for Christmas, and I happened to read The Shining over Christmas break, and it scared the crap out of me, you can imagine. I was like 11 or whatever, and I read this book. I did not know it was a movie for years after that. So anyway, when I found out it was a movie, I was like, wow, this is so great. But let me tell you why I think it's a Christmas movie, why I'm making the argument. Number one.
I am confused.
The movie is about Jack, Wendy, and Danny Torrance. And Jack gets this job as a caretaker at the Overlook Hotel in Colorado. They get snowed in. And there had been this family where the guy got a bad case of cabin fever years before and just went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs crazy. And unfortunately, axe murdered his whole family. So anyway,
tons
Jack
of Christmas
is up
already.
There.
I can feel the
Jack
holiday spirit.
Jack is up there, and he goes crazy on this whole thing. And so that was the most Christmassy scene there. But I will say this. You saw the decorations. You saw those Christmas decorations in the ballroom, right? There's snow. It's winter. And all of the murdering happens during the holiday season. So there you go. Why it's even a Christmas movie. I made the argument. And there are think pieces, people, about whether or not The Shining fits the category. So I rest my case.
So your argument is I found something on the internet.
No, I really do watch. I watch this movie. First of all, I love Stephen King. And The Shining is one of my favorite books by Stephen King, and I love this movie. And I mean,
why don't
come
you like
on.
The movie? But is it a holiday movie?
First of all, Jack Nicholas is the best creepy guy. Look at him at the bar.
But remember when we said couch, blanket, hot chocolate?
Yes.
But look, I do. But by the way, my other half loves horror, so this is one that I can remember my third category. Yeah. I can get someone to watch it. He'll watch the...
Well argued, the counselor. Well
thank you
argued.
Very much. I rest my case. Y'all might not agree, but it's out there.
All right. So we've got somehow The Shining. Dan, what is your... Is it really a holiday movie entry?
Okay. So I thought I was going to have the, like, most troll pick here. But maybe not. Maybe. I have an argument for it. So my pick is Rocky IV.
I just want to say... One thing to my kid who should be home sleeping.
Merry Christmas, kid.
You see what you got to just stop.
Fight it. I love you.
Merry Christmas, kid.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, so you saw at the end, the final fight takes place on Christmas Day. This movie, features the final bout between Rocky and Ivan Drago in the Soviet Union on Christmas Day. And the fight goes with, like, it leads to the Soviet crowd cheering on Rocky. The people in the party are standing and applauding. He, like, gains their respect and even, like, their cheers somehow. And so, like, what better metaphor for how Christmas is? You know,
so
this is just the
same American
thing,
domination of Christmas,
yeah,
and exporting of our Christmas around the world.
That it doesn't even need to be a Christmas movie. It can just be a boxing match that happens to take place on Christmas.
John.
And ends with him saying Merry Christmas.
I want you to get a ba-doom boom ready, okay? Wouldn't this make more sense in Britain for Boxing Day?
Hey! That's actually pretty good. Go ahead.
See, I don't know what that is. So.
Okay, but Atra, you have thoughts. I can
tell. No, so I would have had problems with this pick before I joined the Inquirer. But now, no, I agree with you. I think so, yes.
You don't want the readers coming after you.
Absolutely. And also my coworkers. No, so yeah, this is a perfect pick.
As I know from working in the media as well, Rocky content does good numbers.
Yes, that's
yes.
Right.
People
can't Rocky. Get enough of it.
Do not insult Rocky. All right.
That also gets good numbers. So
that's true. That's true. All right, but Atri, your pick in the Is This Really a Holiday Movie category?
I don't think I'm matching up enough because mine squarely falls into the holiday.
That's probably good that you're not matching.
Yes.
No, again, like, you
we
know.
We went left. We went far, far left.
Like I said, I grew up in India, had not seen snow for many, many years of my life. So I celebrated Christmas out in the sun. So I was very happy to see a holiday film set in the desert, and it's still a very heartwarming Christmas holiday story. You'll see why, and then I can also make my case stronger after you see the clip. So the film is Tangerine by Sean Baker.
Ooh.
Charles,
Tangerine, directed by Sean Baker. All right, so
okay.
Tell me about this movie.
So this film is, some of you may know, shot entirely on iPhones. So that was its big USP when it came out. But it's set on Christmas Eve. The first sentence of this film, the first dialogue of this film, I think is Merry Christmas Eve. But so what happens is, so this film is about two trans sex workers, and the one who's sitting, I think her name is Cindy, she's sitting in the audience. She's just come out of the prison. And they're catching up, their friends. And Alex, she wants to be a singer. She wants to be a singer. She wants to have a show. And then she tries to get an audience together. And then clearly we see that she can't. And the only person who turns up for her is Cindy, who's her best friend. So this film, is about Christmas in Los Angeles, which is amazing to me. It's Christmas where the sun is shining and you're wearing sleeveless dresses. It's beautiful. You guys don't know what that feels like. But also it's about chosen family. It's about friends who show up. She's singing A Christmas Carol, for God's sake. So yes, it's a Christmas film. And there's tinsel on the mic. So yeah.
Tinsel on the mic.
All right. So speaking of chosen family, mine has a similar theme. So, going back to the early 2000s, this is a Steven Spielberg film starring Tom Hanks and Leo DiCaprio. And in the film, DiCaprio is playing a young man who's a check forger, and he's on the run from the FBI. And Tom Hanks plays the FBI agent who is pursuing him in the 2002 film Catch Me If You Can. And let's play a scene before I explain how this is indeed a holiday movie.
Merry Christmas! How is it that we're always talking on Christmas, Paul? Every Christmas, I'm talking to you!
Put your shirt on, Frank. You're under arrest.
Hey, are you hungry?
Do you want some beans, Carl? They got the best French beans
here. There's two dozen French police officers outside.
Carl, I gotta tell you, they're delicious.
They wanted to bring you in.
You want a bite?
I want the help of an American.
Are you hungry? You want a bite?
But I told them I wouldn't bring them to you unless I could put the cuffs on you myself.
Hey, you can put these on yourself.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that. You know why? Because I think you're full of shit. I don't think there's anyone else out there. I think it's just me and you. That's right. I think it's just me and you. And you know what? You're going to have to catch me yourself.
Oh, there it is. Catch me if
you can. That's a good movie.
It is a good movie. And so I will explain the holidayness of it, which is most of the film does not take place during the holidays. But there is a theme through the years. These two men keep talking on Christmas or Christmas Eve. And each time they talk, you realize that as one has been pursuing the other and one has been running away from the other, they've been both sort of concurrently running away from their actual families. And that these two men increasingly have become each other's family. Now, we can't show you the climactic scene because it gives too much away, but it also takes place on Christmas, and it drives this point home even more. And when you think about the holidays and Christmas, we are all sort of appraising what matters to us and who matters to us. And this film, I think, captures that beautifully. So I submit,
thoughtful,
catch me if you can.
Heartwarming argument, Bobby Wolfman Aaron. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was deep.
You took it to,
rising action, falling action, and now this? And you say you're not a Christmas movie guy?
I am not.
I didn't see all of that in Catch Me If You Can until today.
Wow. I'm going to give you some credit. I read this on the internet.
Oh, wait a second.
No, I embellished it. I made it my own, but I did do a little Google searching for
it. I take back everything.
But it's true. It's still true.
You could have just... I could have
walked it off, I know.
Oh, my
I'm
goodness.
I'm too honest.
I love the way that the characters talk in this film. It is like... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
They're both such good actors.
Yeah.
And it makes for good rewatching, especially once you know how things pan out.
Yeah.
It's easy to zone in and out of the film. And
absolutely.
And you can force other people to watch this with you. It's that good. Like, and, you know, they wouldn't, like, fight you too bad. You know,
all right.
Which is in my...
So, Cherry, we've got to choose now in this category.
Hard one. So, I'm jumping The Shining because everybody's look, y'all looked at me like I was, like...
Okay.
Out of my mind when I threw
Cherry, you are abandoning The Shining.
I'm going to abandon my
pick. So my neighbor, who has since moved, used to have very elaborate displays for Halloween and Christmas. And his Christmas display last year was The Shining. So I was going to pick The Shining.
Oh, you just made a new friend.
Yeah.
OMG, I did not know. Yeah. I thought the way everybody, I saw through the lights, everybody looked at me like, girl, please.
Yeah, well,
they gave me the look.
That's true.
In
my block.
What?
All right, Dan's going for The Shining. Cherry, what are you going for?
Well, now I feel like I got wobbly knees. Remember I told you to stand firm?
Yeah, see?
Now I feel like I ought to stand firm. But I was going to actually go with your pick.
Catch Me If You Can?
Catch Me If You Can, because I really do like that movie.
All right, so we have one vote for Catch Me If You Can, one vote for The Shining. Badatri?
I think I'll lean into Rocky because I have to go back to Philly and I don't want to get beat up.
And I'm going to shock you. I am going for Rocky IV as well.
Whoa! Because you and I want to be alive, my friend.
I didn't want to win.
I loved the explanation.
I mean, yeah, I did it.
I liked the explanation of like the triumph of a commercial American Christmas over the rest of the world. It's kind of true.
Wow.
Literally by punching.
Literally by punching.
So you didn't even vote for your own. Do you want to go back to your own?
No, I won. I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm not mad at Rocky. I'm not mad at Rocky.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at Rocky.
I think people are mad at me for picking Rocky, actually, but...
This
you
is
made
perfect.
Such a good argument.
You get to be mad at him, even though I won.
You made such a good argument for Catch Me If You Can.
Thank you.
You really did.
Thank you.
I bought it. Away from that. It's still a good argument, even though you
really
didn't win.
Good. Yeah.
It's just not a winning argument.
Mine was just better.
Okay.
So to recap now, we have three movies advancing to the final round. We have... Charlie Brown Christmas, submitted by Badatri in the oldies but goodies category. Mm-hmm. We have The Preacher's Wife from Modern Classics, submitted by Cherry. And we have Rocky IV, submitted by Dan in the Is It Really a Holiday Movie category.
Yes, and coming up after a short break, we'll find out what holiday movie our listeners picked. And our live audience, you all, will get to pick another one from a list of favorites that we may have overlooked.
Stick around for the conclusion, where we will crown the Studio 2 all-time great holiday movie spectacular extravaganza champion.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll have a blue Christmas.
Welcome back to Studio 2 on the Road. I'm Avi Wolfman Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. And today we're at the Newtown Theater for our all-time great holiday movie, Spectacular Extravaganza.
Let's recap where we are. We have advanced three movies to the championship round. First, we chose Charlie Brown Christmas from the oldies but goodies mm-hmm. category. Then we picked The Preacher's Wife from Modern Classics. And then we chose Rocky IV for Is It Really a Holiday Movie?
And now we're going to reveal the pick that our WHYY listeners chose. Over the past few weeks, we asked listeners to email us their favorite holiday movie. And the winner is It's a Wonderful Life.
Help me, Clarence, please. Please. I want to live again. Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Kids! Jenny, Tommy! Oh, look at you. Oh, I could eat you up. That's right.
Atta boy, Clarence.
There it is. Okay. We all act like we're too cool to pick It's a Wonderful Life, but come on. It's a Wonderful
despite
Life.
Despite this movie having a happy ending, it is very, very good. I picked Bad Santa earlier. So my wife and I went on a Pennsylvania road trip a few years ago. We did the whole corners of the state. And we stopped in Indiana, PA, which is where Jimmy Stewart is from. And there's a Jimmy Stewart museum there. And their main drag is like Jimmy Stewart Avenue or whatever. And the voice that tells you to cross the street is like, I'm pretty sure celebrity impersonator Rich Little going like, oh, this is Jimmy Stewart. It's now safe to cross Jimmy Stewart Avenue. And this movie is amazing. Just like, this movie could be bad, could be terrible, but because of the way he acts and his voice, this movie is an incredible Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Again, despite having a happy ending.
Yeah, we just can't argue with it.
It's
so many people love this movie.
It's gorgeously shot, and
Yeah. All right, so It's a Wonderful Life now goes into final consideration for our best holiday film, but before we get into the final debate, mm-hmm. we want to include our live audience as well. So our producers made a compilation of popular holiday movies that did not make any of our lists. So we're gonna watch this short montage and then ask you, the live audience, to vote on which of these should make the championship round. So you gotta pay close attention here, okay?
My kid brother looked like a tick about to pop.
What?
Clark, I think it's best if everyone just goes home before things get worse.
Worse? How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell!
Marv!
Harry?
Where the hell'd you take your shoes off?
Why the hell are you dressed like a chicken?
You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
Are you singing carols?
No, I'm not.
Please, sir, please. Please.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen. When the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even.
Those are the five. So the movies that we just saw were A Christmas Story, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Home Alone, Love Actually, and Polar Express. So we're going to say each, I guess we'll say each film, and get audience participation to decide which of the five moves on. So let's start with A Christmas Story. How many folks say A Christmas Story?
Solid. All right, how about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
All right, Home Alone.
Ooh.
They like Home Alone.
Love Actually. Okay, very enthusiastic, but not a lot of them.
And the last one, Polar Express. Yeah, I feel like people didn't like Polar Express.
No, it wasn't Polar, for sure. And
it wasn't really A Christmas Story, either.
I don't think it was Love Actually. I think it was... You thought it was Love Actually?
Home Alone.
I thought it was Home Alone, too. Wait.
Not Home Alone, too, but... Home Alone as well.
Definitely not Home Alone.
Definitely not Home Alone 2. We do not need to get into that today.
I don't want to cause any confusion.
So should we do maybe just do Home Alone versus Love Actually if there's some debate amongst us about which was louder?
Home Alone versus Love Actually? Is that what we're going
to
do?
Let's do it. So we're gonna narrow it now to Home Alone versus Love Actually. So Home Alone.
USA, USA.
USA. No, versus Love Actually. I don't know.
Winter Wonderband, which do you think was louder?
Are we going how many people or how loud?
How loud. It's how loud.
I feel like Love Actually was
loud. Love Actually! Wow.
Listen, you can't. It's just unfair competition with like a very charming Hugh Grant singing Christmas carols to children. Like that's the lowest hanging fruit.
But a very charming Macaulay Culkin as well.
If Rocky IV is on the list, we already have one with like a lot of punching. We don't also need Home Alone, which has like him throwing barrels at guys or whatever.
I think it's going to be Love Actually, folks. So we have our final five selections, and we are going to see if we can narrow it down to a final two amongst us.
So we have A Charlie Brown Christmas, The Preacher's Wife, Rocky IV, It's a Wonderful Life, and Love Actually as the films to choose from.
Okay.
So we just have to eliminate some movies here?
Let's eliminate some.
Okay. We can eliminate Rocky IV. This was fun, but we can move on.
All right.
you just gave it.
Goodbye. Oof, now it's getting tough. Can we eliminate any of these? I'm going to go back and just because I picked Elf and it was defeated by Preacher's Wife, I would vote out Preacher's Wife.
I think...
Goodbye.
I would do that too, but not just... Hear me out, Jerry. I'm not letting you down. It's a film I could watch all year round. I don't have to wait till the holiday season to watch it.
Yeah, I...
Just like Rocky IV.
Yes.
There was a silver tinsel lining to the cloud there. I liked that.
I mean, if I'm outvoted, I'm outvoted. But I'm gonna ten toes down with my pick. But I get it. I mean, you know, Denzel.
It's up against stiff competition.
It is. It is hard. And there are other classics here. So
all right. The Preacher's Wife. Goodbye.
Bye, Preacher's Wife.
This is tough. I think I would probably eliminate. I would consider eliminating Charlie Brown Christmas because it's.
I would eliminate Love Actually. I'm sorry, I would eliminate Love Actually.
It's been good, folks. I'm just good.
Nice knowing you. Happy holidays.
It needs to be an actual Christmas movie.
Okay.
I want to see A Charlie Brown Christmas versus It's a Wonderful Life. That's an interesting
idea. Because I feel like Love Actually should
What will people actually like more of those, though?
Okay, there was a lot of positive movement for that, so I guess that means we're getting rid of Love Actually.
This is hurting me. I can't look.
Look, it was a great run, Love Actually.
Sorry, Hugh Grant.
Yeah, sorry, Hugh Grant, and like every other British actor ever.
But I mean, Love Actually should feel good. It made it to the top five.
It did. Goodbye, Love Actually. So now we have two left. We have Charlie Brown Christmas versus It's a Wonderful Life. This is hard. This is really hard. Do you think we should adjudicate it, or should we let them? They want it. They want
it. Give them the... Yeah.
They want it.
They've been sitting here for...
A while.
Uh-huh.
They've had to hear my stupid jokes. Now let's give them some fun.
As a prize for listening to Dan's stupid jokes, we will allow all of you to vote. So, who is voting for A Charlie Brown Christmas? The band even voted for that one. who is voting for It's a Wonderful Life?
My hair blew back. That was clear.
Folks, there you have it. It's a Wonderful Life is officially the all-time great holiday movie spectacular extravaganza champion!
There it is.
Wow.
Well, wow. There you have it. Thank you. So can we say thank you to our panelists? We have Dan McQuaid and Badatri Chowdhury. Thank you so much. And also thank you to our producers, Paige Murray Bessler, Andreas Copes, Debbie Builder, Kevin McCrory. Thank you. Kevin's our executive producer.
And of course, a huge thanks to the Newtown Theater and our wonderful live audience. Also, we have to thank Winter Wonder Band. That includes Kate Southerton Castillo on vocals, Rob Swift on lead guitar and vocals, Emily Southerton on keys, John Holback on drums, and Michael Southerton on bass.
Yes, and thank you so much for joining us, and from all of us, wishing you a wonderful holiday season.
For Studio 2 On the Road, I'm Avi Wolfman Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Thank you for being here, guys. Have a wonderful evening.
Crowded room, friends with tired eyes.
I'm hiding from you in your soul of ice.
My God, I thought you were someone to rely on.
Me, I guess I was a shoulder to cry on.
A face of a lover with a fiery